Well, good afternoon. It's been an amazing day. Such a great opportunity to be here and speak with all of you about spiritual things. There's nothing more important, there's nothing greater that I can possibly imagine than to expound upon the Word of God, displaying in our own selves how much we understand God loves us. And it's important for us. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 5, the scripture says, every word of God is pure, and He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. He says, do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you, and you be found a liar. Our duty here today is to listen to the word of God, hear what He has to say, and simply obey. That's how we show our love for God. That's how we develop a relationship with God, through His Word, and for our love for that. When I went today to buy this flip chart, I walked into the Staples store, and I asked two of the cashiers at the counter, young people, and I said, where are the flip charts? And they looked at each other in amazement. They didn't know what a flip chart was. It's amazing how quickly time passes, and old things become old, and new things new. But with the Word of God, it's all new. Every day. It's not old. When we read this, it's an amazing miracle in this world, His Word. I'd like to talk with you today about what the Scriptures say about examining ourselves to see as whether we are in the faith or not. 2 Corinthians 13:5 demands that of us, that we look at ourselves. And so it's important. In this world with so many diverse and different doctrines, different teachings, different forms of reasoning, it only stands to reason for ourselves that we would look into God's Word and compare the things that we're hearing by the world with the things that God has said in His Word. Very important that by the testing, we prove what is true and what is false. And by doing that, we can examine ourselves and be careful that we are walking in the light of the Lord. In Romans chapter 1, 28, Romans chapter 1, verse 28, the Scriptures tell us that as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind. That word debased in the Greek language means failed the test. It's the Greek word adokimos. It means they failed the test. That word comes from purifying metals. When we have a pot full of metal, and they heat that metal up, and all the impurities come to the top, and the stuff at the top's called the scum. It's worthless. And they take that scum, and they scrape it off, and they throw it away. It can't be used. And we don't want to be like that scum, do we? We don't want to be worthless to God. We need to purify ourselves through His Word in our obedience to that Word. 1 John 4:1. John says that we need to test the spirits. We need to take in account everything that we're told, everything that we hear, and compare that against the precious Word of God so that we know that we're not on the wrong path. And examining what other people teach, we can do. It's important. But we need to know whether or not we ourselves are in the way of Christ, in the way of salvation, or if we ourselves are in the way of the world. And that happens through God's Word. If you look at John chapter 6, verse 63 with me. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus is speaking about words. Very important words, the words of our Lord. In 63, verse 63, he says, it is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are the Spirit, and they are life. And it's significant here that he uses a word for words, which is a Greek term, haremos, which literally means each individual spoken word. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said to us, to Satan, he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he used that term, kramos, words, every individual spoken word. We can't overlook one word. It all matters. We can't change one letter. It all matters. Add not to his word, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar. So it's very important that as we seek to examine ourselves, we do it carefully and methodically against God's word. And it's more important that we look inward at ourselves to see if we're in the faith. We need to focus not on the other guy, but on ourselves. We need to look at ourselves and compare what we do, how we live, how we talk, how we act with our hands, how we appear in the world against the Word of God. It's important what we say to other people, and it's important that we recognize whether they're teaching truth or error, but it's more important that we live by truth ourselves and not by error. We're responsible for our own souls, and we can't blame the other guy because he taught me wrong. The blind lead the blind into the ditch. So, what we're going to do today is we're going to examine ourselves according to the Scriptures to see whether or not we are in the faith. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, the Scripture says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Consider the idea that if we don't examine ourselves, if we do examine ourselves, we're scarcely saved. We need to be very careful and not be puffed up. We don't want to think too much of ourselves, lest we fall. And so we don't want to be those who are ungodly and do not obey the gospel. We want to be those who obey the gospel. And 1 Corinthians 11:31, the Scripture says, "If we were to judge ourselves, we would not be judged." And then, of course, our own text today, or 2 Corinthians 13:5, that tells us to examine ourselves to see whether or not we are in the faith. So, what is important for us? The reason that I wrote this message today is because I have a friend for 30 years. His name is Jack Norman. And for 20 of the years that I've known Jack, I've been trying to preach the gospel to Jack. Jack told me 30 years ago that he was a Christian. He was saved. He asked Jesus into his heart, and he was saved. 10 years later, I became a Christian through the Word of God, and I started preaching to Jack. But Jack wouldn't listen. And so I want to compare faith, what it means to be in faith today with you. Compare all is what's important. Now, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. The Scripture says, "Hold fast to the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." That's a plea from the Apostle Paul. There's a pattern involved here, a pattern that we need to follow. It's a way for us to know whether or not we're in God's light. Titus chapter 1:9 says, "Holding fast to faithful words, holding fast to faithful words, which as he taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine both to convince and to convict those who are contrary. And that's what we want to do today. If we're not in compliance with God's word, then we need to change direction. We need to turn that 180 degrees to find ourselves on the right path. 1 John 3:9 reminds us that Christians, those who are in the body of Christ, cannot sin. That verse does not mean that it's impossible for me to sin. We know that's not true. But what it does mean is that when we recognize sin, we need to stop the sin. And that's how we get on that right road. And that's what happens when we examine ourselves, that we cease to sin. And so, in verse 8 of 1 John, the scripture says what happens if we continue in sin. Because the scripture there says, he who sins is of the devil. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to direct his own path. Therefore, in Jeremiah 10:23, we learn that in order to find that path, we need to know God. We need to be on that right path. We have continual reminders. When we look at the text in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, and the scripture says to us that therefore in order to know which path is right, we must rely on God. And that is done by the study of His Word, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. And in verses 12 through 15, Peter reminds us of the importance of examining and looking at the scriptures to compare against ourselves. He says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of the things though you may that you know and are established in this present truth. I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you that shortly I must put off this tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Peter wanted us to know. Paul wanted us to know. James wanted us to know. Matthew wanted us to know. And Luke wanted us to know. We needed to have the words written down so that we would not be confused. So let's examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith, because the time has come that the judgment begins at the household of God. We need to judge ourselves so that we would not be judged. And the one who rejects Christ does not have the words of Christ. And the word of Christ will judge him in the last day. Proverbs 3:6 says, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your paths. And there's a lot of ways now, as we get closer to the idea of judging ourselves, our language. We can judge our language. We can judge our honesty, our prayer life. We can judge ourselves against the word. We can judge the way we worship and the way that we give. We can look at this and do all this. But what I'd like to do is three things. Excuse me. I'd like to do three things. I want to judge why we need the Savior. I want to judge how we hear. We need to hear the gospel first and our proper response to what we do here. So if you'll go with me in that first idea, why do we need a Savior? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Why do we need a Savior? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the scripture says, in the beginning, God. God was here before all things. God made all things. And in verse 31, it tells us that God said everything was good. There was no sin in the world. There was no death in the world. And God saw everything that He made. And indeed, it was good. And then something happened. In Genesis chapter 3, if you'll look at verse 1, it says the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said to you, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And we know that as a result, Satan tricked Eve. He misquoted God. He brought the sin into the world through Adam and through Eve. And as a result of that sin, we need a Savior. Because that sin didn't stop with Adam and Eve. Look with me in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And this is a verse that I believe most of us have memorized. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Turn over to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. The scripture says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. We've all sinned, and we've all fallen short. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the scripture tells us the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Why do we need a Savior? Because sin came into the world, and as a result of sin, all have sinned, and all have need of a Savior. We all have need of that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, hearing the gospel is very important. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No other way can we come to a knowledge of the scripture. And also look at Acts chapter 11, verse 14, and I want to carry the concept about the order of things. We need to recognize that we are in sin first. And then we need to recognize that in order to come out of sin, we need to hear. In Acts chapter 11, verse 14, we have an account of Peter describing what happened in the house of Cornelius back in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was a good man, a man who prayed, and he gave alms to the poor. He was a good man, and God heard his prayers. And God sent to him an angel, and the angel, he was told to send for Peter, and Peter would come and tell you words by which you must be saved. And that's what we read in 11:14, that Peter would come and he would tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. The words had to come first. When we look at ourselves to see if we're in the faith or not, we don't want to be like my friend, Jack. Remember Jack? The one I mentioned earlier? Jack was a fellow that he came to me back in the 70s, and he told me that he was saved, and he told me that later down the road he learned that baptism was important, so he was baptized. And then later down the road, almost 15 years later, after hearing the gospel so many times, he started to believe that his baptism was the right baptism because now he knew the truth. But that's not true. It was out of order. It was out of order. We need to have order as God prescribed it. We need to hear, know, and understand why we do anything. Otherwise, we're not in the faith of God. We're in some other faith. It might be the Baptist church faith, which is where Jack learned about himself, his salvation. But whatever it is, if it's out of order, then it's not in order with God. Romans chapter 10, verse 2. Romans chapter 10, verse 2 says that, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. These men, women, Jack, he had a zeal for God. He told me he loved God. He told me that Jesus Christ was so important in his life. but he was out of order. He thought he was saved, but it was not according to knowledge. It was according to the teachings of the world, which I hope we've already established that that's wrong. The teachings of tell you about an experience I had just a couple of weeks back with Jack. Jack was at my house and I had just bought a ton of gravel, and I was putting it in a grassy area so I could park my truck on the gravel so it wouldn't sink into the mud. And Jack was there and he saw me do all that. He didn't help me, but he saw me do all that. And all the time that I was spreading this ton of gravel, Jack was saying, "Boy, that is going to make a great foundation for your truck. That's going to stop you from sinking." Right? And I took Jack to lunch that day. I took Jack to lunch, and when I was sitting down with him at lunch, and I said to Jack, you know that gravel I put down? What would happen if I put the truck there and poured the gravel on the truck? And he was amazed. What are you talking about? I said, what if I put the truck first and then poured the ton of gravel on top of the truck? He said, you'd destroy your truck. And I said, why? That's out of order, isn't it? You got to put the foundation in first, and then you put the truck on the foundation. See, God has an order to things. Everything according to the pattern. Jack didn't understand the pattern. But then you build a building and slide the foundation under the building? No. No. You know that a week later, Jack was baptized? Just two Tuesdays back. He understood then that he had taken things out of order. It was no longer something that came from man. He was now understanding that there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians chapter 4. And if you're baptized and your baptism puts you into a Presbyterian church, then that's not the baptism of Christ. If you're baptized into a Baptist church, as Jack was, that doesn't put you into the body of Christ. You need to be baptized into Christ. It's only one baptism. You can be immersed 1,000 times, but if it's not for Christ and obedience to His word in the order in which He put it, then it's not His baptism. It's not His. So remember that gravel. Remember that story about Jack. And compare that against your own life. Are you in order with God? Do you believe in the order in which God presented it? Now, consider 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 and 12, talking about that wonderful foundation. The scripture says, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test one's work, what sort it is. We have one foundation in verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. We can build on that foundation, but no other. So it's important, the order in which things are done. Now, hearing the gospel. The hearing the gospel, we need to understand how important the hearing is first. You know, Jack heard about Jesus, but he didn't hear about baptism. What it's for, the necessity, and so he put them backwards. But we need to have faith. We need to come to faith first. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know the order. You know, Jesus ordered this. Did you know that Jesus ordered faith first and then baptism? Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus said, he who believes first and is baptized shall be saved. He didn't say who believes, then is baptized, and then learns later. He didn't say he who is baptized and then learns later. There's no other order. Just he who believes the word of God and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus made order to this. Very important. Turn to Matthew 4:11. Again, Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And Jesus, he said to Satan that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every single word is important. Now, when it comes to our faith, we know that we have to hear first. Turn now to Romans chapter 10, and let's examine Romans chapter 10, the order of things. You know, this is a very powerful chapter, and it's misused by the denominational world quite often, because the denominational world takes it out of context. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the scripture says that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be, future tense, saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, towards righteousness, it's in the future, and with the mouth confession is made unto, towards salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we stop reading, then we have a message of salvation. Don't we? We have a message. All we have to do is confess and believe in our hearts and call on the name of the Lord and we're saved. But if we examine ourselves against the Word of God, we can't stop reading. In verse 14 it says, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? They say, just ask Jesus in your heart. Lord, Lord, come into my heart. Thank you, you're saved. Send me a card. Let me know how you're doing. Out of order. We have to hear who he is before we can call on him. And we will go down to verse 16. It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, the Lord who has heard our report. In verse 17, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the order. We have to hear first. So that's our foundation. And we understand that it's not just a single word, not J-E-S-U-S, but it's what he means. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. Remember John 6:63? That the word there meant Kremos, it meant every spoken word, every one single individual word, every dot, tittle, every comma, every period. But in John chapter 1, verse 1, it's a different word for word. It's the word logos. And that literally means the whole message. You know what that's saying? It says the message came down from heaven. There it is. Came down from heaven. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have the message of Christ, and we hear that message. Now what's our response? What is our response, a proper response to what we do here? John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him, and we go back and compare that with that order of things, we have to hear the word. We have to hear who him is. Who is him? You know, any verse in the Bible that's preached all by itself is not a truth. You can't take one verse and make a whole church on one verse. Well, you can, but it's not truth. All the scripture, all the words, every individual word, the whole message. Whoever believes in him by understanding who him is. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The second thing that's important is in Acts chapter 8:37, we must confess. 8:37, we have an account of a eunuch from Ethiopia. And this eunuch is riding in a carriage and he's going down a road. And Philip the evangelist runs up to this carriage and he asks the eunuch if he understands what he the scripture. Asked Philip into the carriage and Philip began to preach to him Jesus. And in verse 36, the scripture says, "Now as they went down to the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'Here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?' And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.'" Well, he's confessed. But he confessed what he heard, didn't he? He asked about baptism because he heard it. We didn't hear it. You didn't hear the word baptism verse, but he did. That's what Jesus preached to him, or Philip preached to him, Jesus. And he believed. And he confessed. And so that's our proper response. We hear the message, we believe it, and then we confess in Jesus Christ as being the Son of the living God. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus asked Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" And he gave an answer, and then he said to Peter, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter gave an answer. And his answer was, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so Peter and that eunuch confessed. Our proper response includes repentance. Luke 13:5 says, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Acts chapter 2:38, when they asked Peter, "What must we do?" Peter's answer, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." So we must repent. And the last thing that's important in the process of being saved and being in the faith is we must be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. Again, in Acts chapter 2:38, it said, "Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." In Acts chapter 22, verse 16, Paul tells us, "Rise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." In 1 Peter 3:21, the scripture tells us that the like figure baptism also saves us. So are we in the faith? Have we heard the word of God? Do we believe the word of God? Have we confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That he is the Christ? Have we repented of our sin, turned away from sin? Have we been immersed? In that order. And if not, Galatians 3:27 tells us that as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If we're not baptized into Christ, then we're out of order. If another way to say you're out of order says you're out of the church. You're not in the church if you don't follow the gospel message. That's one way of looking to see if we're in the faith. Are we in the faith? Are we walking as Christ would have us walk? Are we obeying the gospel? Are we doing the things that God called us to do in the order in which God called them? There's so many other things, like I said in the beginning. We can look at our own honesty. We can look at ourselves in our language and in the things that we watch with our eyes, the things that we do with our ears. And those are things that we must examine as Christians. But more important than that is, are we Christians? Are we in the faith? You know, Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6. And he referred to one way. Just the way. One truth, the truth. One life, the life. Are we in that way? Is that our faith? Have we examined ourselves to see whether we're in the faith? I would encourage you to do that. You know, one more thing I'd like to share with you, and then this lesson will be yours, is in Revelation chapter 21. Our faith has a promise. If we're walking in the light, if we are indeed in the faith, then there's a promise to us. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 22, the scripture says, "But I saw no temple in it, heaven, for the Lord God and the Lamb are its temple. City had no need of the sun nor of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is the light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut all at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but there shall be by no means entering in it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." I want to close with the concept of a lie. A lie. I'm convinced that a lie is probably the most common reason why a man will not accept the gospel of Christ. I think it's so easy for us to lie. To lie to ourselves, to lie to God, to lie to others. Remember Jack? Remember Jack? Jack lied. When Jack first met me, he told me that he was saved, then he was baptized. Jack lied. Because later down the road, Jack said, "No, I was baptized for the remission of my sins." But he had already told me that that wasn't so. He told me he was saved, then he was baptized. He lied. Jack lied. Are we lying? You know, that little lie can keep us out of heaven for eternity. And it's so easy because when we lie, we make other lies to make up for the lie. And then we're embarrassed and we don't humble ourselves and we won't yield to the authority of God. We won't yield to God at all because of the lie. Lies keep men out of heaven. Don't allow yourself to lie. Don't lie about your place in the faith. If you're not in the faith as we've described you have to be, then admit the truth. If you're lying about the life that you live and the way in which you live it, then admit the truth. Because Jesus said you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Lies condemn our souls to heaven or to hell. Revelation, we just read, no liar can enter that great city in the sky. So, are we in the faith? We're in the faith when we understand we need a Savior, when we obey the order of things by God, when we have faith in the Word of God, when we confess Christ as the Son of God, when we repent of our sins, and when we're immersed in that watery baptism for the remission of our sins. And then there's one more thing. Then we have to remain faithful until death. We have to continue to walk in the light, continue to examine ourselves. This isn't something you only do once. You do it every day. Have I done what is right in the eyes of God? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, then I certainly would encourage you to come forward as we sing the song coming, and we can help you in that respect. If you have obeyed the gospel and you've fallen away, if you have sin in your life, then we know that if we confess that sin, that our Lord and Savior, our God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we need to do that. In any way, shape, or form, if there's a way that we can help you, I would encourage you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.